a lot of us have heard some things lately. I mean, you're probably one of the fortunate ones if you don't have a television or don't turn it on or don't listen to the radio. But there's just been a lot of hype and a lot of things going on concerning sickness, concerning virus stuff. And I do want to say this, that God has not called us to be fearful people. He's called us to be people who trust Him and have faith. And so one of the other things that, you know, and I've thought a lot about this past week, about how do I approach this at church? Do I just ignore the whole thing and just go, yeah, they're just, you know, blowing smoke there? You know, but aside from all of that, I realized, you know, sicknesses and diseases can be serious, especially to some people. I know a few people who have immune systems that are compromised, that are, you know, they're in a little bit greater danger of any kind of virus, not just something from China. But I want to say this, that when scary times come, when difficult things begin to happen, we should be turning our eyes toward God. And I've kind of caught myself in some of that this week, thinking about this and thinking about that, and after a while, I was just going, you know, I guess I forgot about God in all of this. Isn't it easy to do when all the voices and all the noise out there is all, oh no, you know, we got this big, big problem. But God's word has something to say. And I'm going to read this scripture verse, and then we will discuss the, or we'll dismiss the Sunday school. But let me just read this. This is something that was spoken to Solomon when he had finished building the temple. And it says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon. This is from 2 Chronicles 7:12-14. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Amen. You know, the focus here, this is God speaking. He says, you know, when I shut up the heavens and stop the rain from happening, sometimes people think all of the bad stuff comes from the devil. Well, maybe sometimes God uses the devil as his tool, you know, but when I shut up the heavens, command there to be no rain, when the locusts come to devour the land, or I send pestilence among my people, you know, it is God who does those things, but he looks for a response. And in the middle of all of the trouble and all the difficulties and all the turmoil going on, our response should be, God, we've sinned against you. Be merciful to us. And the promise here that God gives us is, I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. And some of you may not be aware of this. The president, I'm not sure if it was on Friday, declared a national day of prayer today for our nation. And that doesn't happen very often, where a leader, you know, president leader, I know it's happened several times in the history of our country, where a president has face some kind of real difficulty thing facing the nation, and they have called the people of the nation to pray. And that's what the president has asked for churches around America today, to be praying for America. And I don't know that he gave any specifics except just pray. I would like to say, let's pray for a revival. Let's pray for a turning. Let's pray for a change. Let's pray for the end of the opiate addictions and all the other crazy stuff, and the murders and the violence and the killings, the stuff that's going on in our nation. We need God to turn us back, to change us. Amen. And so with that, I guess we're going to dismiss the Sunday school this morning, and I'll just go on with the rest of my message here. But hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we come to you as a people in need. And Lord, there's been a lot of things that have been told to us lately that we should be afraid of. But God, your word says the only one that we should be afraid of is you. God, we come to you with our sins and with the sins of our nation. Lord, we have done wrong. We've done violence. We've murdered the unborn. We've done so much, Lord, to offend you, to insult you and your grace. And God, we ask you humbly this morning to forgive us. Forgive us as a people, forgive us as a nation, forgive us, Lord, for us as Christians who know better in so many things, and yet we've not always turned to your ways or done things your way, God. God, we turn to you and we ask, Lord, that you would turn away this pestilence, that you would turn away the trouble from our nation, and Lord, that you would heal our land. Lord, you're the only one who can. We just pray, Lord, that you would send revival. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on our nation. Lord, rescue the lost. Deliver those that are bound. God, we pray for your revival to come. Holy Spirit, would you pour out on us a revelation of Jesus, a revelation of the sinfulness of man and the grace and mercy of God. Holy Spirit, come. Magnify Jesus in our nation. We pray for America, Lord, that you would revive us, that you would reveal your truth to us, and Lord, that you would root out the wickedness and the evil from among us. God, we just ask you. We don't have anywhere else to go, Lord, and there's nothing else that we can do about it, Lord. All of the problems that we face and that we see all around us are so much bigger than what we can handle in our own strength. But God, nothing's impossible for you. You can turn a nation in a day. And Lord, we are believing you that as we are turning to you, not just us here in this place, but churches and Christians all around this nation today are crying out to you, God. We pray that you would hear us, that you would turn our nation back to you, that you would forgive our sin, you would heal our land, Lord. Lord, I'm praying in these next few days, Lord, that we would see dramatic changes in the situation concerning the virus that's going around. God, we pray that you would just also bring healing and deliverance, Lord, for those that have been affected. Lord, we pray that you would just bring a right mind, a right heart to those that are motivated by fear and motivated by the things that the enemy would do. Lord, your word says that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us a spirit of love and of power and of sound mind. And God, we receive that. We receive your love, your power, and your sound mind, Lord, right thinking, Lord, for ourselves. And we are believing that for our nation, Lord, that people will begin to think the right way again. Hallelujah. God, bring your freedom, bring your deliverance. Rescue us, Lord. Lord, you've made America a city on a hill, a shining light to the rest of the world. Lord, in times past, we've sent out so many missionaries to so many places. And those places now, you have brought revival in those places, Lord. And so many of those nations are sending missionaries out to America and to other places, God. But Lord, help us to be once again a city on a hill that shines for Jesus. Help us, Lord, not to be ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God to save. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Father, we just magnify and praise you, and we just bring our request to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So as the kids gather over here in the aisle, just keep that in mind. I know that I'm going to be saying a little bit more about that, but you know, let's not this just be a day of prayer for our nation, but how about a week or a month or a year of prayer? You know, we should be continually praying for our nation and for our leaders. Amen. All right. Well, thank you, Jesus, Lord, for the Sunday school this morning. We just thank you, Lord. Lord, we want a better nation for these as they grow up. We want them to be in a place where it's safe and it's good, and there's blessing and prosperity from heaven. So, Lord, help them to know you. Help them to understand who you are. Help them to understand the truth of the gospel. Lord, even at a young age, fill these young ones with your Holy Spirit. And help them, Lord, to be the movers and shakers, the advancers of the kingdom of God in the earth today. Lord, bless the Sunday school. Bless Sarah. Lord, let your anointing rest upon her. And let her experience your touch right now in Jesus' name. Bless the Sunday school. Amen.
Wow. So all of a sudden I'm thinking of a song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes. You know, that's where we get into trouble, isn't it? We start turning our eyes on all the troubles and all the problems and all of our own difficulties and the difficulties other people are facing. And we forget that at some point we got to stop looking at that stuff and we got to start looking at Jesus. It's been said many, many times, Jesus is the answer. Jesus really is the answer. Lord, bless your word as it goes out today. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to touch us even as you've already begun. Lord, bless us, Lord. Bless us with your presence. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. Amen. For the dedicated follower of Jesus, everything's going to be all right. Amen. You know, trouble comes and trouble goes. But someday we're going to be standing in glory. We're going to be standing before his throne. And we're going to look back on our time here on earth and we're going to say, well, I had some rough spots. I had some difficult times. But God took me through all of that. And here I am standing before the throne of God, experiencing the greatness, the wonder of heaven, and just wondering, what did I do to deserve being able to even be here? It was because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Psalm 91. And these are some promises. This is motivated a little bit by some of the stuff that we've heard this week, but I want to bring a message that really speaks to the other side of it. You can turn on any news channel and get one side, and it's pretty much the same thing. But I don't know that you can turn anywhere else, so I thought, well, we're going to come to church this morning. Let's hear the other side of this story. Amen. Here's what it is for the believer. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. As we dwell with God, as we walk with him, as we trust him, we dwell under his shadow. It's as if God himself were right here, and I believe he is, right here with us, touching us, walking with us, assuring us and reassuring us. You know, I will say of the Lord that this is us. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. I will trust. Amen. God is my refuge. I think that's what we got to remind ourselves of often. God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is my deliverer. God is my helper. He is the one who's going to carry me. You know, no matter what's going on all around me, surely, it says, verse 3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, that's, you know, from the tricks, the traps of the enemy, from the perilous pestilence, that speaks of sickness. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. It is the truth of God that's going to be your shield. That's your protection. It is the truth of God. Amen. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. You will only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Hallelujah. That's not the whole psalm, but I encourage you, you know, if you take the notes with you, just go ahead and read the rest at home later today. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, the Apostle Paul gives the church in Philippi and us the encouragement. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My goodness, if there was ever a time when we needed our hearts and our minds to be guarded, to be protected and shielded, this is it. And this is Paul's formula. This is God's formula. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Amen. But in everything means whenever you see something going on, when you experience something, you go to God in prayer and supplication. You say, God, here is my request. Here is what I need. God, this is what I'm asking for. Amen. Hallelujah. And the peace of God. Let your request be known to God. See, and if you do that, and the peace of God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all of our care on Jesus. Not because he's having, he's having a great time thinking, well, look at them suffering and struggling. He cares for us. When we are in trouble, God's heart is grieved. Amen. And sometimes, I realize the trouble sometimes comes because of our own bad behavior or our own bad thinking. But even in those times, God is grieved. He looks at us and he says, I've got a solution for you. If you'll just follow it, it'll help you. Amen. I think Peter was quoting here from the Psalms because Psalm 55:22 says something pretty similar. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. If you'll cast your burden, if you'll take the weight of whatever's holding you down, the worry that you're struggling with, and if you'll give that to God, it says he shall sustain you. God will keep you. God will cover you. God will help you. Amen? He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. What an awesome statement. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Amen. Hallelujah. The humble will be lifted up. Psalm 18:27. For you will save the humble people, but bring down the haughty looks. And 2 Chronicles, and this I read this at the beginning, but 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. There is something about crying out to God. It's an act of humility. It's an act of saying, God, I'm not big enough for this, but you are. And I'm turning to you. Psalm 10:17. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. Some of these verses here that I'm reading have to do with walking humbly before God and walking in humility. I planned on doing this study on pride and humility starting this week Wednesday, but I planned that, I think, on Wednesday night already. I announced it. So I wasn't thinking about all this other stuff, but what a right time for it. Likewise, you younger people, this is Peter admonishing the church, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Hallelujah. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Amen. That he'll exalt you at the right time, in due time. Amen. Humble yourselves. This is James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. In Psalm 10:12, arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. You know, there is something about humility that gives us a confidence to go into God's presence and ask for what we need. I remember the parable that Jesus told about the two men who came into the temple to pray, and one of them was filled with pride and arrogance. And Jesus said that man left there not justified, but the one who did humble himself, even though his living wasn't right, even though he wasn't the perfect man, he humbled himself and he asked for God's mercy, and he left there justified before God. Amen. When we come into God's presence to ask for the things that we need, for the troubles that we're facing or difficulties we're having, or even just for just the normal stuff that we need day to day, we need to come humbly to him rather than saying, God, here I am. I'm your servant. I've done all this good stuff for you, so here's what I'd like you to do for me. That's pride. Humility says, God, I've worked and I've served you, I've tried to honor you, but I know that that's not enough, and I've failed many times. God, would you still be patient with me? Would you be kind to me? Would you be merciful to me? That's humility. And it's such a difference in the prayer, because God hears the cry of the humble, but he turns the proud away. Yeah, if God's turning you away, where else are you going to go? The proud will be humbled. Jeremiah 17 speaks of the heart here. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 to 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Amen. It's talking about the heart motives, and the deceitfulness of the human heart. If we don't humble ourselves, our hearts will deceive us and lead us astray. I've often heard the saying, people will say things like, well, you just got to follow your heart. According to the scriptures, that's probably not a good idea. Just follow your heart. How about just follow your heart as it's led by the Holy Spirit? Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Amen. Those are some of the verses we're going to be studying in the next few weeks, having to do with pride and humility and the importance of those things. I'll tell you what, if there were one thing that would hinder us from getting our prayers answered, it's that arrogance and that pride. But if we'll humble ourselves, God is willing to answer. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want my prayers answered. When I go to God and I've got a need, you know, especially a lot of times we have needs that we say, this is totally impossible, God. I don't have any other place to go. I don't have anybody else I can ask to get your help on this. But if I go to him in arrogance and pride, I've even cut off my only source of help. But if I come to him in humility, I've got a chance of being heard. Amen? All right, answered prayers for those with a right heart. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Amen. Some of these verses here have a lot to do with our behavior, our actions, the things that we do. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, Jesus is saying, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. You know, sometimes we look at the last half of that verse. That's really good. I can ask whatever I desire and it'll be done for me. But it's conditional. It starts out with, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. What does it mean to abide in him? It means you're with him. I've said it before like this. You're hanging out with Jesus. You're with him morning till night. And even before you close your eyes at night, you're saying, God, I love you. God, I'm with you. And your mind and your heart, all of it has to do with being focused on him, being surrounded with thoughts of how great and awesome God is, filled with thanksgiving. Amen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. You know, it's one of the important reasons why we need to take in God's word. We need to take it in on a Sunday morning. We need to take it in on a Monday morning. You know, at home, in your chair, at home, read what Jesus said. And let those words fill you. Let them abide in you. Let them be the core of what you believe. You know, the reason that we get blown around every time by all sorts of crazy stuff going on, and we get all frustrated and get into all sorts of mental turmoil, is because we're dwelling on things that Jesus didn't say. 1 John, the epistle of John, 5th chapter. Verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. I'll back up just for a second here. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. How do you know what his will is? Well, I'll tell you what, you can find it in here. You can find it in this book. His will is clearly spelled out. Amen? Matthew chapter 18. And again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I'll tell you what, that's a powerful verse. It's a great verse. One of the things that I like about that verse, as I'm thinking about us this morning, praying for the nation, and I'm thinking about the Christians around our country today, and probably Christians around the world who are praying that God would send revival, that God would send blessing, that God would send send help. Amen. There is something about when we are together, and this is not just meaning, you know, two or three are. What about 200 or 300? What about 2 or 3,000? What about 2 or 3 million who are coming before God and saying, God, send revival. God, send help. God, send healing. Send deliverance. I'm convinced, and I know that I've mentioned this before. I've been in some of the larger gatherings around the nation over the years, the last 15 or so years. And when I've been in... I remember being in Titan Stadium. Some of you heard this before. In Titan Stadium back in, I'm not sure if it was 2007, but there were about 60 or 70,000 Christians there. And I remember at one point the speaker from the platform asked people to begin to, if they were able to, in where they were sitting, get down on their knees and ask God to send revival to the nation. And I remember being there, Sarah and I went together for that, being there and just looking and seeing a stadium full of mostly young people, mostly, you know, late teens, 20s, and old folks like me, crying out to God and saying, God, spare our nation. God, deliver us. God, send revival. God, bring an end to abortion. And I look at those gatherings, and I was in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago for something similar, except the crowd was a lot larger. Christians all around the National Mall on their knees praying and saying, God, send revival. I think that was 2016. It was just before the last presidential election. But to see, you know, 250,000, 300,000 people, as far as the eye could see, where I was kneeling by the Washington Monument, I could see people on their knees crying out to God for revival. Can you picture heaven saying, it's not enough? Can you picture God in heaven saying, I can't hear you? I can't picture God saying, I'm going to ignore this. His word tells me that he listens to the cry of the humble. He listens to the cry of his people. And when they come together to pray, something happens. God moves. Amen? And I think we're about to see something once again. Another move of God. Maybe one of those moves that we've read about from American history, where people are crying out to God. People are being saved all over the place and filled with the Holy Spirit. We need that again. We need that again. Wherever two or three of you agree. 2 or 3,000, 2 or 3 million. Amen. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, I was going to maybe save this for next week, but I'm not going to at this point. My last... part of my message this morning is a passage out of 2 Chronicles chapter 15, the passage that we were reading before was out of chapter 7, but there's a king named King Asa, and apparently they were in trouble. They had enemy armies that were about to attack them, and they were really outnumbered considerably. They were in a real desperate spot. It says, now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him." Wow, what a statement. The Lord is with you while you're with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. Amen. They sought him. They went after God. And they found God. They found that God became a help and a very present help to them. Amen. Verse 5, In those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. Boy, that sounds a little bit like what's going on today. Great turmoil, great trouble, great fear. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. By the way, God troubled them with every adversity. I'm not sure about your theology, but sometimes people say, God doesn't do that kind of stuff. Well, he says he brought adversity. Does he bring adversity to, he enjoys people suffering? No, he enjoys people turning to him, because he knows that's the best thing for them. That's the best thing for us. But he says, but you, this is the prophet again speaking to Asa, but you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Amen. God is telling us, don't be weak. Don't let your hands hang down. Don't feel like you can't do anything. Yes, you can. And be strong. Don't let your hands be weak, for the work will be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, now here is the king's response. When Asa heard these words of the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Asa took action. He heard the prophet of God saying, turn back to God. Don't be weak. Be strong in him. Amen. And he did that. He did that. You know, at that time in Israel, when Israel tended to stray away from God, they started to raise up all sorts of idols and different altars and different gods that they began to worship. Not unlike today. We don't see physical statues and idols that people bow down and worship, but people worship a lot of stuff today. Yeah. They worship their... Yeah. They worship all sorts of things. And yet, this king in Israel made it a point to tear down what was there, tear down the altars to Baal. And really, I would think if stuff like that would happen in our day, there'd people be wanting to kill the king. You know, politically speaking, there are people who have such a hatred for the president these days that even if he called for a national day of prayer, it wouldn't be good enough. And I don't know what his motives are, but it doesn't sound like something the devil would want us to do. Right? Okay. And maybe he's not a perfect man, but the scriptures say we should pray for our leaders. And again, that has nothing to do with politics. That has to do with God raising up leaders and God putting down leaders. And God giving wisdom and godly advice to leaders. And I believe our president does have some godly spiritual people giving him advice. I think he's probably got other people giving him advice that maybe is not the greatest advice. But all said, we need to pray for him. We need to pray for all of our national leaders. We need to pray for our local leaders. You know, there's a lot going on. And if they would have the wisdom of God, they'd be able to handle some of these things correctly. So here Asa begins the restoration. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who sojourned with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Thank you, Jesus. When these other people saw that the Lord God was with Asa, they were drawn to that. I'll tell you what, if America will once again become a nation that seeks God and follows God and honors God, we'll be blessed by God, and we'll be the place that people want to go because the blessing of God is here. Amen. Bring it down to our church. If we are a people who are serving and honoring God and doing what we should be doing, and if God is with us and he's displayed it over and over again that he's with us, that he's helping us, I believe that God will draw people to this place too. This place right here. Amen. They came to him in great numbers, for they saw that God was with him. And when they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their souls. This is then they entered into a covenant. It basically said, God, we promise to go after you with all of our heart, with all of our soul. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Verse 19 is an interesting verse. It says, and there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. It sounds like a long time. I didn't check into the history of when this is going on, but it sounds to me like Asa had a deliverance, or not a deliverance, a freedom from war for all of those years. All as a result of the people of God turning back to God and crying out to him. Amen. We are the people of God. If there's going to be any help coming from anywhere, it's going to come through our God and because of our asking, because of our coming before him. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people in our nation today that are lost. They don't know God. There's a lot of people who are walking in fear and walking in all sorts of trouble, who are having problems. And really, the hope that they have is that the people of God will humble themselves and pray and let God come and heal our land. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up together this morning. Yeah, if my people, that's us. We are the people of God. If we will turn our hearts toward him, amen, God will heal. God will deliver. God will set us free. God will break the idols. God will break them down. Hallelujah. Let's pray one more time here. God, we praise you and we thank you. Once again, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. You are God and we are your servants. Show us what to do, Lord. Show us how to live, God. Show us how to walk with you. Lord, save us, save our nation. And Lord, turn us from our wicked ways back to your ways. Hallelujah. God, let the people of God, let the people of God in this house be a people who will exalt you and lift you up. And Lord, cause those that know us, that see us, Lord, to be drawn to you because you are with us. Help us, Lord. We just thank you and praise you, Lord. Send revival in Jesus' name.
Would you say Psalm 23 for all us people right now?
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He brings revival to my soul. How about that? He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, Lord, it's all for you. It's all about you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. I'll not fear evil. I'll not be fearful like the people around me are fearful. I will trust, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning.